Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and this week I am so thrilled because with us we have Francesca Amato Banfield. Francesca, a pro advocate for family rights and child protection in the United States, spent many years raising awareness on the unjust U.S. family court system. Following her own struggle with the family court, Banfield works passionately as an advocate, TV host, published best-selling author, investigative reporter, and mandated reporter. Francesca, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us on such an important topic.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm very happy to be here today.
Wonderful. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in such a wonderful awareness for so many people who need it out there.
I've been involved advocating for quite a number of years just for civil rights alone. But regarding the family court, it's been a little over 10 years because my son, Christian, is a little bit over 10 years old now. And happily, we had a happy ending. However, too many people across our country are not having happy endings. And we're just seeing such a mess in our court system where judges are rendering decisions that are causing irreparable damages to families and children. I got involved when I started to see that they were not making good decisions and then ordering you to follow orders that actually endanger your child's welfare. And it's pretty much what led us to where we are at today.
Wow, incredible. Well, tell us a little bit about your own story. I know it's really incredible in the book how much information you so generously share. But tell us a little bit about how that impacted your life and your child's life.
I was advocating for a number of years in Ulster County, New York, for many, many parents, and they were just coming out of the woodwork. And I did hold private door meetings with our local assemblymen and other government officials and legislators and so on. Eventually, what happened was is one particular judge, who was never my judge in close to 9 years, after the judge that I did have recused herself from my efforts to protect families, I got this other judge that I was reporting because of his just very bad, irresponsible decisions that were not only endangering the welfare of children, but he seemed to have a pattern of abuse against mothers in particular, where he would literally strip them of all their rights. And it did not line up with what our state, the state of New York or any other state, is legally allowed to do. In other words, you can't just strip a parent of their rights without specific things such as a definite and clear finding of unfitness. And even then, there's laws that protect the parents. After somewhere around 70 cases and working with the local attorney general's office and also having an oversight of attorneys, I filed electronically so I could have all these eyes on it through the district attorney's office and then to the Committee on Judicial Conduct. Cases of victims in the county that suffered from this particular judge and the other judge, but my main focus was this particular judge. And after this report came back unfounded or that he didn't do any wrong, we were all blown away. Because if you only knew the amount of child abuse that were happening to these children, clear cut, how they could say that a judge did not do wrong, I knew we had a very serious crisis on our hands in this country. And I wasn't just working with the state of New York. At that point, I was working with the nation. Shortly after that report came back, unbeknownst to me and without any court date, because remember, I went to court for 10 years straight for at least once a month for 10 years, or close to 9 years, rather, at that point. There's no way I would miss a court date. And all of a sudden, I have no court date, and I'm being told through Facebook that I lost all custody to my child. And I thought it was some kind of a crazy joke. which led us to me writing the book because I wanted people to know the true story. He had us on a missing persons when we weren't missing. He took my child and gave him to the father who's never had him, but yet it was in the newspaper as if he was being returned to the father, which made no sense because he's always been with me. I have an immaculate background till this day. They were not able to tarnish my background, thank God. I have nothing criminal on me. There's no finding of unfitness. I've never done a drug in my life. And sadly, I'm one of millions of parents in our nation that have this type of background, and yet their children are either with someone who's an abuser of some sort or thrown into foster care, which is a whole other beast of itself. Now, I don't really have foster care written too much about, I don't think at all, actually, in the book itself, but I do have our story to give my child and I, and hopefully many others, a voice so that there is not a demeaning or, you know, people seem to look at people when they don't have their children as something must be wrong with them. And I wanted to make sure that it is well known that that doesn't mean that at all. And we've all been fooled by that, to think that if somebody doesn't have their children, it's possible there's something wrong with them. We come to find out that the greatest tragedy is coming from the judges themselves by rendering these decisions.
Why do you think that's becoming so prevalent? You know, I mean, I remember times when, particularly in the case with the mother, the judges tended to really favor the mother in cases. But I guess this can go to either side where there is a problem of abuse. Why do you think that it's become so prevalent?
Well, first, I'd like to preface this by saying I am not mother or father biased in any way. I'm very much for the family. I am very much against domestic violence and drug abuse around children, things of that nature, or criminal type of activity. However, we did see a pattern for years where dads just literally had no fighting chance in court. And we're talking about good dads, healthy families that just didn't make it. And I think what they're trying to do now is kind of tip the scale. So right now, as I'm talking to you, I literally have four innocent mothers in prison for doing nothing wrong but wanting to protect their children. And literally, some of these cases are a very extreme case of retaliation and a lot of money that goes through the court. If you looked at them as an individual thumbprint, each case is a little different because there may be families that have a lot of wealth, and so there's something a lot more underhanding than even what we see in our courts. On the other side of that, we see where these judges across our country, and it's also very connected to, well, what I call child protective services. It is known as CPS, Child Protective Services. I see nothing protective about that agency. Then it goes into foster care, and then it goes into what we call forced adoption. To answer your question, the reason is 4D and 4E funding. These are titles that were actually funding that was supposed to be there when there's an issue in a family that needs some kind of financial leg up or help to potentially get off of maybe drug abuse or other types of abuses, anger management, things like that. And it's been so abused. They make up stories that are not true, falsifying government records. They're trained to do this. They use this funding, which is paid by our tax dollars, to promote this system that is literally tearing apart our families, destroying the lives of our next generation because these children are being ripped away from loving homes or homes that may need some help, but they're taken away completely, or they're left in homes where there is severe abuse, and that's part of the money pocketing kind of thing that they're doing. And the reason they leave children in these types of homes is because they will continue to get those phone calls to have to keep doing the quote-unquote investigations, which generates more money into the system itself. So for people that have never heard of this, it is a shocking thing for those of us that thought our judicial system was fair and just, like I did. As a law-abiding citizen, as a, having a family that's law-abiding, we all thought that at some point. We all thought that foster care was there to really help children that have drug mothers, for example. I know we've all heard that growing up. And we come to find out that it's nothing like that at all. The percentages that are real abuse are slim. And when we find out that there are outrageous amounts, like 500,000 children in foster care a year, we have to start to wonder what's going on behind the scenes. And then they ignore the extended family. So now not only does a mother and or father or both lose a child, but their siblings lose a child, their grandparents lose the child, the extended family, the neighbors, the schoolmates, So we have a nation that is suffering loss, lots of loss, by a system that thankfully now has a spotlight on it. And I am thankful to see that there are changes that are finally being made. Punish for Protecting was very instrumental starting in August when I began doing live interviews of parent stories. We have seen judges return children. We've seen judges either being sanctioned or even as much as going to jail. We're not seeing it fast enough, but at least we are seeing that we are cracking a dent into this system that is abusing our nation's families.
It's really just so appalling, you know? It's so difficult to hear, and I wish it were not true, but I know, you know, only too well, both from personal experience and those that you've helped, that this is an incredible crisis. I'm wondering, how do people go around protecting themselves? How do they go about that when they have limited funds and they're trying to keep their children despite how this big, unjust system is working?
I'll give you an example. I have a mom who was a CPS worker. They stole her daughters because she would not comply with what they wanted to. Before they stole her daughters, they fired her for insubordination because she would not, first of all, not protect the children that needed protection, and she would not want to take the children that come from good homes. Supposedly that was insubordination. Okay, having a moral compass was insubordination regarding CPS. As time went on, shortly after, and it's obviously a lot longer than what I'm going to share now, but they took her beautiful, honor roll, twin daughters, and they're at risk as we speak, and we're working behind the scenes on that case. This is all about money. Whether a family is poor or wealthy, because it used to just be poor, but we're seeing this across the board now, and no one is exempt any longer, and that's the thing that's making it really, really crazy. But in a way, it's good. You know, when you have a different, let's say, a wealthier family members that are coming through or family members that have professional backgrounds, okay, and when you start to see even like law enforcement getting ostracized or different types of professional backgrounds, now it's happening to them as well. It was easy to keep going after poor people because they didn't have anything. They couldn't call a good attorney, let's say, to get help. They couldn't afford it. Now you have people who can afford to fight or have the educational background to fight. So they crossed the line. They overreached way too far now. And we also have people such as Kelly Rutherford from Gossip Girl. If you remember her, in her case, they actually gave the children to her ex-husband, I believe, in France when they're American-born children. So this, like I said, this doesn't leave anybody exempt. But the funding comes in whether or not you're wealthy or poor, because when it's 4D funding and it's through our tax dollars, that continual door of nonstop frivolous litigation that has no remedy at the end of the day or the end of the year or the end of 18 years keeps you in court. And so the courts are making money. Every time you walk in, the public defenders are making money. So that's all through our tax dollars again. Now, CPS, Child Predator Services, is making money. Every time they take a child, they get $6,000 for changing homes, for getting them into foster. Then they put all these heavy weights on parents, like parenting classes and this class and that garbage and this garbage. And in these particular things that they make the parents jump through hoops and tell them they're going to get their children back, they're getting money for all of this. They can do everything possible that they are told to do. They'll always give them something new, and they still will dangle the child over them and not give them back their children. Supervised visitation that they do for parents. I can't even begin to tell you how many times these parents do not need to be supervised at all. It's based on a false allegation, and then they just blow it up into these places that you wouldn't even believe where they go. So all of this brings in funding. All of it brings in funding that, again, we the taxpayers have been uninformed. We've been allowing it for too long. We go in, like I said, generally most people go in as an innocent citizen who's law-abiding and thinks that whatever the judge says is rule, and it's wrong. It is absolutely wrong. I highly encourage people to, we do classes actually, but to learn your rights so that you're not misinformed, so that you're empowered when you go in the court. And I tell people a lot of times, you're better off going pro se. Learn all you can because you're the best voice for yourself and nobody knows your case like you do. And when they're paying exorbitant monies to attorneys, hundreds of thousands many times, or they're getting a public pretender to support their case, number one, the public pretender learns about them as they're walking into the court. So there's no actual consultation. You're not talking. They're not learning your case like a good attorney would. A good attorney is going to spend time meticulously going through the case, finding out the ins and outs, finding out what was violated. We see few and far between of these types of attorneys that are still worth their salt. Then you've got the other side where you have paid attorneys that love to just use this system. They keep raking in more money from you at $250 and $350 an hour. plus generally a $10,000 retainer or somewhere around there, okay? And before you know it, you've lost your job, you've lost all your finances, you're big borrowing and stealing to do whatever you can to save your child. And so all this money is just going into this system. And for what? At the end of the day, where's your child? Where are your children? Who has your children? And are they loving your child the way you would? And sadly, we find out they're doing it for money, too, when it comes to foster care. Many times adoption, and not all adoptee people are bad. A lot of them are very good. Sometimes they're very fooled by their churches to think they're doing the right thing. But these children belong with their biological families, and this financial system is literally child trafficking them and making a lot of money off of it in the guise of justice, in the guise of our judicial system.
Wow, it's just incredible. So is there any way that parents can be proactive and not find themselves in this situation? Like, is there anything that they can do to protect themselves so it doesn't happen?
Absolutely. There's so much that they can do. Number one, be very cautious what groups you link with yourself with. Make sure you get involved with a group that has integrity, first and foremost. Punished for Protecting, I'm Punished for Protecting Incorporated. We are a nonprofit. Everything we do for free except for certain classes because of the exorbitant expenses that it costs us to do them, but they're very minimal, and we never turn anybody away if they don't have money. Never. We want everyone informed, because every informed parent or advocate is a help to all of us, because we need to save our country. It really comes down to that. Without our next generation, we don't have a country to fight for. But get educated. We teach Zoom classes that are online, which makes it real simple for people who can't travel. We do that once a week or twice a month. I travel now with the book, so I do meet and greets and a three-hour class with a book signing, and they're very detailed. And we go into CPS procedures and policies. We go into the laws and what the truth is compared to what they tell you. Certain things, such as you've been told that judges have complete and utter judicial immunity. This is not true. You're told in these courts that there's no constitution. Well, that's your biggest error right there. So we teach you the constitution so that you learn the constitution, that you know what your rights are. And so information is key, being empowered when you walk in. We even teach parents how to not let them intimidate you, not let them threaten you, not sign anything, so that you are well prepared. And one of the biggest things is stay out of family court, period. Stay out as much as you can possibly stay out until we drain it completely and there's no more family court, because it is not in any way helping families. And it's done a lousy job for 40 plus years. And I do really truly believe that the reason we see so many children on so many drugs, psychotropics and so on and so forth, is because of what damages our government has done through the family court, child predator services, and so on and so forth. Because these kids no longer can cope when you rip mommy and daddy away from their lives, or you demand and you order that they are with an abuser versus the loving caretaker that would do everything to protect them naturally.
My gosh, the work that you're doing is just really so amazing. So everyone, the book is available on Amazon, Punished for Protecting. And then give your link for your website, your organization, because I'm sure people that have the need will want to contact you.
Yeah, and they could go to the events section on the website, and they have to pre-register for classes. We do give out a private pin per class, and that would be www.punished4beingaparent.com. And they can see all our work, all the events that we've done, the protesting, just all the different things that we do as an organization. We have volunteer advocates that are very well trained, and we even have attorneys. So we do have a lot of great people, the social workers that are really great people that are as disgusted with the system as we are, and doing all that they can, many times behind the scenes, unknown in the public view, so that we can continue this great work that we're doing.
That is so wonderful. Francesca, thank you so much for such an enlightening time with us today. And it definitely changed my whole perspective on what I thought I knew. And I'm sure that the work that you're doing and just getting the message out through your wonderful book, in addition to the work that you're doing with your organization, will help many, many people, as it already has. So thank you for your generosity.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your program. It's been a pleasure.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.